Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you very much for joining me today. Now, I'm very sorry I haven't been able to record over the last couple of weeks. It is very difficult when you live out of Auckland, and I just have to send through the programs, and I'm just getting my head around that sort of thing, so please excuse me. And last week I actually spoke before the Select Committee at exactly around 3 o'clock last Friday, so I was actually busy doing that. But a program before you will know, if you have been a regular listener, that we were talking about La Salette, Our Lady's apparitions at La Salette on the 19th of September 1846. Now, it's pretty amazing apparition. She only spoke to the children once. The children had only actually met each other the day before. And Melanie, age 14, is considered the main seer. And Maximum, really, at 11, he was only pretty much the eyewitness. So I'll just continue on there. So as I said, they'd only met the day before. And they saw Our Lady seated in a globe of radiant light, and she was weeping bitterly. And she told the children there were two reasons Our Lord was very angry, and she could not hold back his arm of justice much longer. So what were the two things that were upsetting Our Lord? That people did not keep the Sabbath, they did not go to Mass, and people were using God's name to blaspheme. And with those two things, there were many dire predictions that Our Lady said, that if people did not change their ways, many things would happen. Now, it's a very long apparition. I personally like it a lot, and it is a great one to get into. So Our Lady gave each of the children a message. Now, Melanie's was very unpopular. However, she met Pope Pius IX and also had a private audience with Pope Leo XIII. So there were many in high circles in the church who thought her message was authentic. Now, Our Lady said many things, but she also said Rome would lose the faith and all would be revealed in the secret archives of a certain sect. And things will get very bad. And she singled out France, Italy, Spain, and England. And the church would suffer much. There would be wars, famines, plagues, thunder, earthquakes, and fire would rain from heaven. And when all seemed lost, there would be a great restoration. Now, this is very, very similar to Our Lady's apparitions of Our Lady of Good Success, Quito, Ecuador. On the 2nd of February, which is the Feast of the Purification, Our Lady appeared, and that's in 1594, to Mother Mariana de Jesu Torres. She was a conceptuous nun, and from Spain originally. She came over to Ecuador when she was 13 with her aunt, to help establish the convent. And the Portugal and Spain had long believed that Our Lady was conceived immaculately. And in fact, they would die for the faith to, if anyone said against that, they would go to the death defending Our Lady's honour. So Mother Mariana said that she was asked by Our Lady to be a victim soul for the people of the 19th and 20th century. And because those times would be very, very bad, there would be impiety, impurity, and heresy. They would abound. There would be a total corruption of morals, and the devil would target children particularly. So few of them would receive baptism or confirmation, Holy Communion, and Sacrament of Penance. And there would be a loss of innocence in children, and modesty and virginity would be very difficult to find. Now, without virginity, locked away in religious convents especially, a lady said fire would rain down from heaven because it would be needed to purify the lands. And it is the religious in these convents, often hidden away, that sustain the church. And certainly since Vatican II, the numbers have just been decimated. So there would also be secular education, and this would lead to a loss of vocations. Holy orders would be ridiculed, and the priests would be tempted away from the faith, and the behavior of some priests would bring scandal and condemnation upon the whole church. Many weak Catholics and enemies of the church would seize upon this to try and destroy the church even further. Now, the secret sect, would permeate hearts and homes, and there would be unbridled passions. And from the mid-20th century onwards, which of course we know around 1960, you had the pill and the whole sexual revolution. And Our Lady is predicting this how many years before? Nearly 400 years before. So when Our Lady says something, you can virtually take it to the bank. She said that matrimony would be profaned. People would live in sin, and there would be many illegitimate children. Now, the Pope would be a prisoner in the Vatican, so that's an interesting comment. So there would be a great hardship and trial for the church of these times. And certainly we have seen it ourselves from the sexual revolution, the mores and the morals of society has been completely upended, and like night and day. So these things have all actually come true. However, Our Lady said there would be a small number of souls who would safeguard the treasure of the faith. They will have a cruel and unspeakably long martyrdom, but they would be counted among the martyrs who sacrifice themselves for country and the church. And also, when evil seems triumphant and all hope is lost, when authority abuses its power, committing all manner of injustices and oppressing the weak, their ruin shall be near. They will fail and crash to the ground. Through the courage and perseverance of the faithful, there will be a great restoration. Now, this restoration, of course, Our Lady said it's a good outcome, Our Lady of Good Success. But for that to happen, we must pray constantly and tirelessly. And Our Lady said, my son of those times who fought for truth will be especially honoured and have a special place in heaven. Now, she also said that Rome would lose the faith. Now, this is a very interesting point. Now, of course, our Lord said that the gates of hell will not prevail on his blessed holy church. But there certainly are forces, and even some within the church, who hate the church. I can't even say it any other way, and want to bring it to its destruction. Now, it's well known that some of these sects decided that they couldn't defeat the church because the church was too big, but perhaps they could infiltrate it. And that plan was known from the mid-1800s. And of course, Our Lady knew that at the time, that she spoke to Melanie and Maximum. She did say at La Salette that devils would be loosed from hell in 1864. And it's very, very interesting that in 1864 you had the first meeting of the Communist Internationale in London. So the communists, devils, well, of course not, but the plan set up by Karl Marx is certainly one that is not geared to be helpful towards humanity. Now, Marx was a Satanist. You know, because you can read all of his poems. He talks about the devil, how he was made for heaven, but he has forfeited heaven and he's going to hell. And he's going to, he never set out to reform the world. He set out to destroy it. And many of the communist, the manifesto, the planks are to destroy private property. And we are seeing that more and more, to get women into work, because if you can get women into work, the whole beautiful basis of the home will be weakened. Mum will be so busy that, you know, really to put her husband and her children first, they will come in there somewhere, but the vocation of wife and motherhood will be shattered. And we have certainly seen that. One of the things, the girls can do anything, that mantra that came out in the 1980s, instead of vocation of wife and motherhood, it was career, career, career. But many women who have gone down that path now see that it was a total illusion. And many of them divorced or separated from their husbands, from their children, and they get to retirement age and they ask, is that it? So anyway, so let's look at what's happening in the church today. Well, you certainly saw at Vatican II, things did change very much. And we had an opening to the world, a new Pentecost, as St. Pope John the 23rd said. And so what happened there, I think, which was most significant, the Mass of the Ages, the Latin Mass, was changed after Vatican II to the Novus Ordo. Now, interestingly enough, Bishop Cleary, the Bishop of Auckland, said in his monthly magazine, which he wrote and produced in 1919, that the Church will never change from Latin. He said they would never get rid of it because it is the universal language of a universal church. And because it's a dead language, it can never be changed. And it helps to raise your heart and your soul up to heaven. And the bishops at the council did not want to put away the traditional Mass, but it happened anyway. And for some reason, right around the world, Masses were then said in the vernacular, in their national language. So, in a way, you have gone away from the universal language, the universal church, to the national languages and a national church. In fact, a priest said to me many years ago that what he saw in the future was a talk fest every 10 years or so, but basically national churches. Well, that certainly isn't the one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church, the universal church of all time. So anyway, Pope Benedict brought back the Latin Mass in 2007, but what has happened just recently, Pope Francis has reimposed the restrictions against the Latin Mass, and many places the bishop is still gracious enough to let people have the Latin Mass, maybe once a month or something like that. But many places will not be able to have the Latin Mass at all. And also, Pope Francis, he's presided over three synods and he's just opened another synod. And it was attended by cardinals and bishops, clergy, religious and laity from all over the world, 200 people. And it's going to be a two-year dialogue about the future direction of the church. And when Pope Francis opened it, he quoted Yves Congar, who was one of the great theologians of Vatican II, who said at Vatican II, And Pope Francis quoted him, "There is no need to create another church, but to create a different church." So he said, "I'm very certain that the Spirit will guide us and give us grace to move forward together." Now, apparently every parish of the church in the world will be canvassed, and people will have a chance to have their opinion on the future direction of the church. Well, I personally, for one, won't be adding my voice to that opinion, because what do I know, a mere layperson, that the great fathers and saints of the church haven't already contributed to the church? And what do I know that could add to the magisterium and the dogmas of the faith? I mean, yeah, absolutely. So I will not be contributing to any of the discussions on the future direction of the church. I am very happy with the way the church is at the moment. I would like the Latin Mass to be able to be more easily accessible, but that would be my one little gristle. But anyway, we have got, it's up to 3 o'clock, and it's time for the Divine Mercy. And so you don't need to be a Catholic to pray along with this prayer. It's a wonderful prayer that our Lord gave Saint Faustina as a token of his mercy. And no matter what you have done, don't think that you are so sinful that God could never forgive you. He can forgive everyone. So, and also he said it's a great prayer to pray when a person is dying, and he promises to stand between their dying person and the just judge, the heavenly God, as a merciful saviour. And so what a wonderful consolation that is. So anyway, as I said, you don't have to be a Catholic to pray along with this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, there is a fantastic organization, Family Life International, that can help you with any of your needs. if you just need someone to a listening ear to talk to. So Family Life International. And they have a special service called Gianna's Choice, and they have their own home actually for pregnant mothers and mothers of new babies. So Family Life International, you can go and look that up and see all of the services that they offer. I strongly recommended it. It was set up over 30 years ago by Dame Colleen Bayer, and she does a tremendous job. So, God's mercy. No one is beyond God's mercy. And Saint Faustina is a very, very special saint. She's Polish, and Pope John Paul II, a saint, Polish too, and he made a special feast day in her honour. So we can be rest assured that if we think that our sins are too great, that is never the way our Lord looks at them. But having said that, life is a test, and you can do whatever you like. You can behave in whichever way you like, but you must always remember, at the end of your life, you will be judged, and your actions will be judged. Make no mistake about that. Father Stephen Shire, who died earlier this year, had a very bad accident and died and went to heaven. And he came back with a message that there is hell, and he was destined for hell because he was leading a life as a priest for himself and not for God. And so he went all around the world, and I happened to see him at the Eucharistic Convention many years ago. And out of all of the people that I listened to over the years, and I've listened to many, his message was probably the one that resounded most to me. And he said, your life is like a love letter, and everything you do is written down on that letter. And then God will read that letter, and he will pronounce judgment. And in fact, you know what the judgment will be because you have lived your life. But there is always hope, because we have the sacrament of confession, and we can confess our sins to the priest, who is sitting in for our Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever is retained, and whatever is loosed is loosed. So that is a great consolation, to know that God is a loving and forgiving God, full of mercy. But we must never forget that he is a just God, and that is only right, because if God himself took on man's body and came down to earth and then died for our sins on the cross, well, that is the greatest act of reparation there ever was. But if there is no heaven or hell, and there is no consequences for our sins, then that, or what is the point of God coming down to save us from our sins? So we must never be blinded and think that this is it, this is all it is, there's no everlasting life. There is, and we want to make sure that we are there with our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father in heaven forever.